Here comes Judas, verse 47. And while he was speaking, still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, talk about your betrayal, your deep, deep betrayal, with a great multitude with swords and clubs came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he's the one, grab him. And immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and he kissed him. But Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? When they came and laid hands on Jesus, they took him. Verse 51, and suddenly one of those who were with Jesus, the Gospel of John tells us who this is, three guesses, Peter. He stretched out his hand and drew a sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. That's step number three for you note takers. Step number three is, you're active when you should be still. And of course, it's close cousin. I'm still when I should be active. You get that all mixed up and discombobulated in your heart and mind. Is now the time to whip out that sword and start hacking up people? What did Jesus say? This is supposed to happen. It's a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. And that's the thing. If I'm not me, not us, that means I'm not tuning in to the Lord. I've missed it. And then all of a sudden I look up and I see something. I feel strongly about it. And I whip out my sword and start hacking away. Is that the best use of God's resources? No, says Jesus. Verse 52, but Jesus said to him, put away your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. By the way, parenthetically, Peter's a Jewish fellow, right? What day is this? This is the Passover. Are you to carry a burden on the Passover? Nope. You're not supposed to work on the Passover, and you weren't supposed to be packing heat. What's Peter doing? I got my sword. Just a little something for protection here. Yeah, but Peter, you're not supposed to be doing any work on the Sabbath. If I got to do a little work, I'll do a little work here. Verse 53. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he would provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? Over 70,000 angels. And like we said last week, don't forget, it only took one angel to dispatch 185,000. Thousand Assyrians. Ask Hezekiah about that one. Verse 54. How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen like this? Peter, because you were sleeping and missed it, you were turned off when you should have been tuned in. Now your activity is all out of place. And you are damaging God's people in the process. It happens. Look down at verse number 56. And all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled. Now verse 57. And those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed them at a distance. You might want to mark that down. Yep, that's step number four. Following from afar. Hey, I'm following Jesus. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to church. Well, you know, I'm mostly going. Well, I've been to church in the last... I'll get to church soon. My devotions. Remember when it was so beautiful in the morning? When you would get your devotions out, coffee in hand, quiet place. Hey, Harvest, parenthetically, I cannot recommend this study help more heartily than get this book. There are three volumes in the entire series, verse by verse, talking through the Bible much like we are right now. And I don't know if you know Pastor John Corson of Applegate Christian Fellowship near Medford, Oregon, but in my book, he's one of the most insightful Bible commentators there are. John Carson, in a devotional style, is going to take you through every word of the Bible. Let's zoom in a little bit. You see in bold print, that's the actual verse. And then in the non-bold print is just some thoughts. He's a great Bible teacher, if you know his ministry. He's been teaching through the Bible now for close to perhaps 50 years. He's simply one of the best Bible expositories I've ever encountered. And there's not one sermon, I think, not one sermon I have ever preached that hasn't in some way been enhanced by one of his insights. In fact, the frog story, Todd the Toad, I stole from John Corson. This is now online. You can get this downloaded to your iPhone or your iPad, or just take the book, because there's something about getting the book and smelling the pages. 10-ish, 15, 20-ish minutes, open up a commentary if that helps, and go through and learn verse by verse books of the Bible. Loved one, I'm telling you, you need to do this. Why? The church atmosphere that will be prevalent in the last days right before the return of Jesus and the rapture and the great tribulation, it's going to be so self-centered, feeling-oriented, and most of the humans that are going are so, this is such an awesome church, but they're not doing the things that God has said to do. And thinking they're so in, Jesus said they have no idea how naked, wretched, poor, and blind they really are. Whether I'm in a church of Laodicea, or whether there's a church of Laodicea in me. It's never too late. Ask of me gold tried in the fire. Woo, imagine that one. Lord, bless my spouse, bless my kid, lead me on my job today, and bring the fire, baby. Bring on the medical challenges. Bring on the assaults to my finances. Bring on the challenges at work. And the interpersonal challenges of a church or a ministry. Let it get ablaze with your flame of righteousness. That way, Lord, I'll know what's bogus in me. I just said bogus. I haven't used that word in a long time. Is there something in me that I think is actually really cool, and God's light of God's scripture is telling me that's not it at all? You're majoring on the minors and minoring on the majors. We'll never know unless we are in God's Word, you guys. Now more than ever, are we turning off when we should be tuning in? Following from afar. What that means is, yeah, not as close as I used to be. I'm not putting in the physical time of Bible study or prayer. My word, worship, prayer, and fellowship habit is slipping. I'm not checking constantly with a compass of God's word. That's why I think I might be drifting a bit off course. I'm not as sensitive to the subtleties of the enemy. And he's tripping me up because he's very, very good. I begin to float away in the current of the culture. Let's skip now down to verse number 69. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, because he's following from afar. And a servant girl came to him saying, "Hey, you were also with Jesus of Galilee." Peter, remember what he said at the table? "Though all these deny you," probably glanced over at James and John, "not me," and then everybody else, "not us." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are saying." The other Gospels tell us that he's standing by a fire, because after all, it's kind of nippy in the wee hours of the morning. And so he's got to get warm. After all, he didn't come prepared. No, I don't know what you're saying. Verse 71, "But when he had gone out from the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, 'Wait a minute, this fellow, he was also with Jesus of Nazareth.' But he again denied with an oath, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives, no, I don't know him.'" Do you guys remember what we said earlier? Any one of us is capable of anything at any time. Here it is on display. "And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter," yeah, yep, now I know for certain, Surely you are also one of them, for your speech betrays you. Could be a dialect. It could be the familiarity of the voice. But remember how Peter's language had changed. What was his vocation? He was a fisherman. If you want to hear the most creative use of expletives, hang around a fishing boat. Deadliest Catch on Tuesday nights. Oh, were those some salty individuals there? They had the beep button rolling all the time. Oh my goodness. He was a fisherman. And more than a time or two, he had snagged his net on the bottom of the lake. What do you suppose colorful expletive escaped his lips then? But because Jesus had apprehended his heart, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Peter has been changed. Now watch. Verse 74. And he began to curse and swear. The old fisherman voice was coming back. That's step number 5. Getting warmed by the world's fire. Not me, not us. And because I'm turning off when I should have been tuning in, I'm missing stuff. And then I start doing things and activity that I should not have been doing in stillness. It's getting worse and worse. The more effort I throw at it, the weirder it gets. And now I'm following Jesus from afar. Because I'm hiding behind stuff. And finally it'll get here. You'll start sidling up to the world's fire and remembering the old days and how that used to warm your heart. Look at Peter. The old language has returned. Then he began to curse and to swear, saying, I do not know the man. And immediately the rooster crowed. And right in your margin here, Luke 22, verse 61, that's where Luke says, that's when their eyes met. As he was being hustled around from Caiaphas' house to Pilate's house, and they're roughhousing him along, his face now was swollen with the blows, bleeding from abrasions and lacerations of the face. Perhaps, if not naked, people are looking at him saying, what a loser that guy is. And some were being shoved in the back. The rooster has crowed. Peter puts his hand to his mouth, perhaps. And then their eyes meet. One of the prophecies of Messiah is, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not extinguish. What's a bruised reed? A water plant, and then if you bend it back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Is the plant weakened at that injury? It's so weakened, a flick will separate one half from the other. What's a smoking flax? It's when you take that little piece of wood and the end of it is a flame for a second, and then the flame goes out and there's just a little bit of a glow. On the other side of the glow is that ash that's already been burned through. How delicate is that? How many of you had parents who smoked? My mom smoked. And she'd be on the phone. This is my mom smoking here. And she wasn't paying attention. And then the ash thing was doing this. And you're under her with an ashtray. Same idea. So delicate. One of the prophecies of Messiah. A bruised reed he will not flick. And a smoking flax he will not extinguish. I'm pretty sure Jesus looked at him with the greatest love and compassion Peter had ever seen in his life. Peter, I know. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I don't think Jesus piled on at that moment. I think this was a look of great love and great concern, and knowing that at that moment, Peter was feeling awful. 5 steps into sin, and he blew past every stop sign, disregarded every warning of the Lord and the Word of God. And now he's at his lowest time perhaps ever in his whole life. And there was Jesus as the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Story's not done. One last place. Would you mind? Let's go to Luke chapter 22. Before this whole terrible debacle started. Hey, Harvest, is there sometimes bitter weeping in the church? Yep. 9 times out of 10, it's nobody's fault but mine. He made me do it. She made me do it. No, loved one. You chose to take that challenge and use that as an excuse to lay impaled and paralyzed on the mat of defeat. When their eyes meet, you're right. I didn't believe it for 3.5 years. I'm capable of denying you. He had a great case. Well, then I can't do this. This is too hard for me. And if that's where the story ended, look at verse 31, Luke chapter 22. Verse 31, and the Lord said, "Simon, Simon," he says it twice. "Oh, Simon, indeed, who? Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat." Take wheat kernels. Yeah! And that's you sprinkling out the bottom. "Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail." And here's what I hadn't seen. I've read this verse a number of times, but I didn't see it until recently. Semicolon. "And when you have returned to me." Oh, you better highlight that one. Yeah, Peter was down for the count, you guys, weeping bitterly. And if he wanted to take an assessment and inventory of all the things done wrong, and I'm weeping because of him or her or John or James or Judas. And he could have stayed defeated if he wanted to, but Jesus knew about Peter. Peter is going to get back up, and he's going to go back in. He's asked to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith not fail. And when, circle that, not if. How many of you are glad there's a when there? And when Steve does get off the mat and gets back and returns to me, then strengthen your brethren, Peter. Because you're going to have a story to tell. Last thought. Luke 22, verses 31 and 32. "When you have returned to me, Peter," because you're going to do it, you're going to get back up and you're going to go back in. You're going to get back to word, worship, prayer, and fellowship. And you have taken some mighty hits this night. And you saw the result of this terrible weeping and the terrible bitterness and separation and loneliness. And now who am I? And what kind of damage have I done? Oh my! You forgot, Peter, what the Bible says, that in me that is in my flesh dwells no good thing. Let's all stand together, and here's the last point of our time together. Because Peter got back up and went back into word, worship, prayer, and fellowship, he saw two things. We'll read about them in the next weeks. He saw a resurrection. And in chapter 28, he heard a great commission. Lord Jesus, for me, this is very, very powerful. In the mid-1990s, my life was a shambles, and I mean a shambles in every definition of the term. In the very few times when I even wanted to speak with you, because I thought I had a good case of the frumpies, she made me do it. And then he did this. He did this to me. And I can remember, Lord, very plainly, wee hours of the morning, surrounded by the people I was surrounded with, contemplating the decisions that I was contemplating. And Lord, if someone were to see me in those days and say, "What a loser," Jesus could have elbowed that person and said, "Ah, he's not a loser. He's just not off the mat yet." That is my Bible teacher. Anybody with an earshot would have said, "I'm sorry, what did you say?" Him? Look who he's hanging with. Look what he's been up to. Oh. But Jesus could have said to me, "And Steve, when you come back, because I know you're coming back, now tell your brothers and encourage them how not to take the 5 steps and where it could lead." And when they look at you and say, "What do you know what you're talking about?" That's when you get to point to your scars and say, "Experience is the best teacher, but it doesn't have to be your experience. Please fall on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ." Everybody's head down and everybody's eyes closed. You need to see a resurrection. Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, and so will you if you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. "I'm not going to do that because it's her fault. She made me do it. He made me do it." That will wear very thin on judgment day because it's just not accurate. You stay broken, that is your choice. And if you want to accept and receive your day coming in the future of resurrection, and if you want to hear the great commission to you coming for ministry, you got to give your heart to Jesus Christ. "Lord Jesus, I give you all of my life. No more excuses. I give you all my failings, all my excuses, all the terrible things done to me. And I have been tempted to stay on the mat of defeat, Lord. Would you resurrect me, please? I give you all my life. I recognize that you died for all of my sin. I need you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Save me this morning." And if that's you, I want you to raise your hand right now. "That's me. Oh, thank you, Lord. So many. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I am yours, Lord. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life." You can put your hand down. And now for the rest of us. What is your excuse? You're swinging away when you should be still. And you're doing nothing when you should be active for Him. And you've been following from afar. And truth be known, some of the old language is leaking out again. Come home, please. If that's you, now it's your turn to raise your hand. "Lord, I need to get back up and I need to go back in, and it's nobody's fault but my own. And I've had some tears." Truth be known, many of those tears were my own fault. "Forgive me, restore what has been broken, and use me again. I am yours, I am yours. In Jesus' name." And now everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.